AM 1300 KGLO, Mason City, your hometown news station. And it's time now for the Corporate Farmer Program. And got a good friend, Chad Hansen, on our KGLO live line right now from Corporate Farmer. And Chad, good morning to you.
How's it going today?
Well, it's going good. Yeah, it's, you know, it's that time of year where we start to feel the change in the weather, and we can see around the corner, and we know spring isn't far, and football now is kind of behind us a little bit, and taxes are ahead of us. How about you?
Yeah, I can definitely feel all those things, especially the taxes. You know, it always seems like we have just like a little bit of a week lull between the end of the rush to get 1099s and W-2s out, and then kind of the beginning of when people get serious about taxes. And at this point in time, it seems like most of the tax forms are out and people are kind of buzzing with trying to get those last-minute questions asked and get organized and get that stuff to us. Obviously, you know, with our farmers and March 1 deadline for those sole proprietors that is going to be here before we know it, that kind of creates a little bit of the panic and maybe motivates most to get on that sooner rather than later. And so, yeah, the push has kind of at least started a little bit. I know my calendar's blowing up, and definitely got a lot of mail in the last few days as people have started to kind of either get that sent off or maybe even dropped off the paperwork to get their taxes done here. And so we'll be busy some of those later nights, and I guess I'm glad for the sun staying out a little bit longer because it keeps me awake and allows me to keep pushing and grinding a little bit more than I probably would want to if it was dark and gloomy and cold. So we'll hope for plenty of sunshine going forward here.
Hey, isn't that funny how that works? So, you know, the sun comes up earlier in the morning and it sets later in the evening. You're right, though. Once you're in the office and you're working at it, as long as you can peek out the window and see a little daylight, there's still life in the day.
Yeah. I know I like driving home when it's not pitch black anyway, and I even last night, just a little concerned as far as the deer are still moving and things and looking for food and all that kind of stuff, and so not quite as fun when you can't see anything until they're on top of you. So, yeah, it is definitely something that kind of, I guess, motivates me, and that I know that spring is not too far into the distance as we start to lengthen the days and see a little bit more of that sunshine for sure.
Yeah, you talk about the fields and the deer and so forth and that kind of thing. And I noticed I've been doing a little bit of traveling myself with ball games to broadcast and that kind of thing. And, you know, here last week we had the one night I was traveling west, and it was literally raining with 42 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And very little snow in the fields out west of here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then you go to other places and you see more snow on the ground. So, you know, the farmers have, you know, a little bit of time when there's more snow out there. We can see the deer a little better, too.
For sure. And I know for myself, I made a trip down to Missouri last week. And it was crazy not wearing a coat the whole time. You know, they had temperatures in the 50s and maybe even touching into the 60s, and so it was kind of nice just with a long sleeve shirt. You felt comfortable, you know, getting in and out for as long as I needed to get into the house and back to my vehicle and stuff like that. But you know, I could really feel the difference as I cruise on down the road with the sun shining and knowing the warm temperatures were there. And you know, they're kind of fighting some different battles, and many of the people I talked to that would like to finish up a little bit of farm work out in the fields yet, that, you know, it's not quite frozen, kind of playing with those temperatures enough to kind of go from soft and squishy to, you know, some of those colder nights that they're still going to get that are going to freeze that top layer of the fields and stuff. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting to them, listen to them complain a little bit about the inability to get into the fields this time of the year, and we're up here in northern Iowa, and we're not even contemplating that at this point in time. It's probably well into a month or 6 weeks probably from a window where that's going to be something that we are considering around this area.
Well, it's that time. You talked about taxes is is the big thing right now, and obviously it is. I mean, not just for farmers, but probably for everybody to have that in the back of your mind. But, you know, then you get some of those veteran guys out there, I'll call them the veteran farmers, that have gone through the tax season so many times, and they're thinking, well, I kind of understand the drill and that type of thing. But you and I have talked enough in the last couple of years coming through the pandemic. This year will offer just a few more challenges here and there that even the veteran guys that have done a lot of this through the years, they probably should get a head start and be ready to roll.
For sure. You know, we've talked about, you know, some of the different things with the stimulus payments and child tax credits and some different forms that you're going to see, you know, to report that information. In the past couple of years, we've had changes to the 1099s with a split off of the non-employee compensation for many of the farmers that pay maybe somebody to, say, plant their crops or spray their crops or any of that kind of stuff, where they're dealing with an independent contractor in that area. And so, you know, things look a little different. They're always kind of playing around with it, I guess. You know, we kind of say trying to improve the system. Sometimes I think that we try and break what isn't broken, but that's, I guess, why we elect those people out there in Washington, is to keep messing with our lives in some shape or form. But, you know, one thing that was a little bit of a shocker here just recently, even for myself, is that with the infrastructure bill kind of, I guess, probably in that real fine print that nobody really paid attention to when they were discussing that bill and got it passed, and then until, you know, we kind of found out a little bit more about what was in it, was a provision that affected reporting on some of the online type of marketplaces. And so I know sometimes when I'm not going to make it down to a game in Iowa City, I throw my tickets on StubHub or one of those sites in order to kind of get a little bit back out of them. And you know, I got a notice from them saying, until we're going to release the funds, you need to fill out information so that we've got that available to provide a 1099 with the new provisions of, like I said, the infrastructure bill that was passed this last year. And, you know, other people that maybe deal a little bit with eBay or Etsy or any of these, you know, kind of, like I said, online-type marketplaces, they've probably been inundated with the same type of correspondence or emails that say, we need your information, your Social Security number, address, and, you know, what kind of entity that you're operating under. And here, you know, in this situation for me, it's not like it's a profitable endeavor. Probably most often than not, I take a loss for what I've got in the tickets. But, you know, one of those fun things that we find out after the fact, you know, don't read the bill, just pass it. And we think this is going to make the world a better place by forcing all these places to issue 1099s. But, you know, just kind of seems to complicate things and give us more paperwork and the businesses more time and money and energy invested in complying with the rules that are in place. And so I'm sure I'm not alone, and I just figured, you know, I might want to update a few people out there that are listening that say, what the heck is this, and why do I exactly need to do it?
Yeah, why do I exactly need to do it? I suppose you get that question, don't you?
Yeah, it comes up. And then another thing that I've seen and had quite a few calls on lately is some people that are maybe invested in any kind of partnership or S corporation. The phone calls most recently have been with some like the ethanol and those types of cooperative type endeavors, and some changes there as well with foreign taxes. And you know, they've gotten a notice as whether it applies and whether you're going to need these new form K-2s and K-3s, which, you know, for many people, they're like, what the heck is a K-2 and a K-3? Well, typically, whether you're involved in any kind of pass-through entity, like a partnership, S-corporation, estate, trust, you are going to receive a K-1 that is going to detail the pass-through income and deductions that you pick up on your personal return from that partnership, S-corporation, estate, trust, whatever. And, you know, so once they file the return, they split it according to the percentage of ownership. So if I've got a 1/4 stake in that entity, I am going to get 1/4 of the total net income and depreciation, you know, any deductions like charitable contributions or whatever that that entity had. And I give that to my tax man or go on and do it myself and it report that stuff. Well, you know, complicate things a little bit more if I've got foreign taxes and, like, say I've got investments that are in Chinese companies or whatever, and so they're reporting dividends to me, and so I get a credit for the taxes I paid in another country. Now, I've got to take into account all those other kind of business income that that I've got on my tax return in order to make sure that I'm calculating it correctly. And so effectively what's happened is it's forced a little bit more information and stuff that needs to be given to those shareholders in order for them to complete all this information and make sure that they're calculating it correctly. So all these different entities now, like I said, maybe some kind of a partnership that you're involved in is sending out, you know, this form for you to complete. And for most people, they look at this and say, do you complete, like, Form 1116? And they're like, what the heck is a Form 116, and how do I know if it applies to me? So what's the first response I do is I call my tax man and say, what do I do with this? Do I need a K-2 or a K-3? And so I'd say just in the last couple of days, had several calls exactly that and helping people to know whether they check the box no or whether they need to for the complete the form. So all these new things, like you say, that come out each and every year, it's always fun to get the first call because you have maybe know what they're talking about and half wonder if they know what they're talking about, because, you know, it's easy for them to say, I get this K-1, 2, or 3, or 4, or whatever it is, and you're like, oh, hold up, let's make sure that we're on the same page here before I give you any answers and stuff. And so, you know, the beginning is some of that, and I'm sure some of the farmers out there and maybe non-farmers have maybe already seen this kind of a letter come to them, and they've already kind of scratched their head a little bit and put it off to the side, figuring I'll deal with that later. But, you know, that's what it involves, and that's one of those additional things, just like the 1099 that I talked about earlier, that is new for 2022 already.
I think you were describing me when you're talking about that guy that comes and says the K-1, 2, 3, or 4. We all look at this a little differently and go, I mean, there's some fear factor in dealing with taxes.
Yeah, and it's the unknown. It's not exactly being comfortable in, you know, what you're doing or understanding it, and that's the reason why, you know, you engage somebody else, is to kind of know those things and help you through it. And so, you know, switching gears maybe a little bit away from some of that unfun stuff to talk about. I know another thing that has come up here more recently, too, is just people that are looking at 2022 and saying, whoa, you know, prices are looking up, and each day, you know, the markets look like they might get better, and we might actually make some money this year, and, you know, I deferred quite a bit of grain, and maybe I've got a problem, and they're starting to look ahead about how am I going to deal with my tax situation, and inevitably, one thing that comes up there is, oh, I better buy something, right? You know, looking at equipment and buildings and different things, grain bins, and, you know, it's something that you kind of want to get ahead of. We all know of the shortages and, oh, the issue with, you know, getting some of that, and the kind of fact that if I wait until late this year, chances are that everybody's going to tell me that they're not going to be able to get it or get it to me in time. And so buildings, you know, is a big thing that there's been this 100% bonus depreciation that's been available that mainly for farmers kind of affects the buildings that they put up, like a machine shed and stuff, because they can Section 179 do the quick write-off on any equipment and shorter-term assets, but you know, that doesn't apply to 20-year property, which is what a building is. And so that 100% bonus depreciation is scheduled to decrease after this year. And so in 2023, it goes from 100% write-off to 80%, and then it's going to decrease by 20% each year after that, as all part of the tax cuts that were passed under the previous administration. And so, you know, a lot of people are kind of seeing that in print or, you know, maybe hearing it on the radio or whatever, and they're kind of thinking in their minds, well, I've been kind of putting this off, and I'd really like to do something. It probably is advantageous to get serious about it here in 2022 when I can write the whole thing off, and I know I'm going to have, you know, maybe an income issue. And so, you know, I think that's a good reminder for anybody that's listening, is that if that's something that has been out there in your mind and you know that it's time that we need to expand our storage capacity and this bigger equipment is not able to fit in the old machine shed, or I want a shop where I can get inside out of this cold weather and be able to work on it in a comfortable environment and get things done during the winter, now is the time to kind of pull the trigger on that and get serious about doing a building if you want to take advantage of that full write-off in 2022, because I know people, they'll be kicking themselves if they wait, and next year we say, well, you can only do 80% of it, the other 20% you got to schedule over 20 years. They're like, well, I don't know if I would have done that if I'd have known that. So here's your opportunity and the reminder that you better get it done this year if you want to be able to write that whole thing off.
So that could be, could that be new, or does it have to be new, or can it be a remodel? What?
It could be any of the above.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be with that bonus depreciation when they first started it, it kind of began after 9/11 as a way to kind of incentivize people to get out there and spend money when we kind of had all the uncertainty and the turmoil, you know, in the country and stuff. But then several years ago, they switched that, and it would apply to both new and used. So, like you said, I mean, if there was, you know, building in town that maybe used to be some kind of a shop where they worked on cars or something like that, and that person is retired or gone out of business, I mean, that'd be an opportunity to pick something like that up and be able to write that all off in 1 year, and then definitely might be a cheaper option than building something new with you know, the cost of materials right now.
Oh yeah, well, and that is definitely something to consider for sure.
Yeah, so all kinds of fun things like that we get to deal with, and then probably the biggest issue here is I've been talking a lot about the notices and how delayed the IRS is and behind on processing returns and all that kind of stuff. We finally got word that the IRS is going to stop sending these stupid notices, you know, things that they've been sending out, continuous reminders to tell you you owe this or this hasn't been filed, when you know that it's been paid or it's been filed and they just haven't processed it. So they're finally supposedly going to put a stop to that and quit harassing people and telling them they're going to file liens and all this fun stuff because of the fact that, you know, they just don't have the manpower or haven't got around to getting those forms and payments and everything processed. So they're starting to listen out there and maybe take notice and actually get something done to kind of curb the harassment, I guess. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to put that so bluntly, but I think for many of us in this business, we kind of been tired of seeing those repeated letters every few months when we know that it's on their end that they've got to take care of it at this point.
It's a good heads up for everybody. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. For sure. Hey, Chad, if somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, you know, he has stirred up enough in my mind, I better go running for help from Corporate Farmer. How do they do that?
Yeah, super easy. Just give us a call, 800-472-6931, or you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.
And they're real good people, too, everybody.
Some days.
No, you are all the time. Chad, great to talk to you. Have a great week.
You too, Tim. Thank you.
Take care. Chad Hansen from Corporate Farmer, everybody. Get in touch with them today. That's our Corporate Farmer program on 1300 KGLO.